The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It used to be like 8 to 8.5 tons before we intervened in these things, but now it's about 4 tons. So it has reduced to 50%. Flower show sees a lot of stalls coming in Lal Bagh, right? So there was a strict agreement with the vendors that they're not supposed to use single-use items in their shops. And also they were told to keep two different bins, one for wet and one for dry. And they were made responsible for the waste which was generated from their shop. And hence, there also we reduce the waste.
That's right, from the middle of this week's episode. Hello and welcome to yet another episode of the Mission Chunya podcast. As always, I'm pretty excited, very excited to bring to you yet another story. Yet another story that is in line with the mission of transitioning to a zero carbon economy. First, a big thanks for your reviews, feedback, and messages. If you haven't done that yet, please do it on iTunes or Apple Podcast. It definitely helps in spreading the word and getting more people on the show. Give it a 5-star rating if you like the show and write a review also. You can always write an email to me, missionchunya@gmail.com is the ID. Your feedback definitely helps me making the podcast better and getting more relevant content and people on the show. So don't forget to give your feedback from time to time. Few months ago, I was doing the regular cleanup around the household and got a collection of electronic waste that I usually preserve for a time and then dispose responsibly at once. For the last few years, I've been doing that from time to time, and in fact, I help people in the extended family dispose their e-waste in a responsible way. The last few times, I have used a service by a group called Sahas, and I must admit they are doing a pretty good job at that. So on this episode, I have a guest from Sahas. But it's not about their e-waste project. It's about another project that they have taken up in recent years. So what is the project and how has it shaped over time? Listen in to the conversation with our guest Rajalakshmi from Sahas. Hello Rajalakshmi, welcome to the Mission Shunya podcast. Glad to have you on the show and feature the Sahas story.
Thank you so much, Girish, for having me in the show.
So can you give us a brief background about your work and what do you do in Sahas? How did you get into Sahas?
Yeah, so I have done my bachelor's in IT and I was quite keen on using technology for a social cause. So I was in that hunt for 2 years and then I thought environment is something where I want to work on. And that's how I ended up coming to Sahas. And here I have used IT to streamline the process of waste collection and data management and things like that, GHG emission calculation, along with all the groundwork of urban waste management, electronic waste management, and a couple of other projects.
That's interesting for someone to shift careers and move into a sector which you're really excited about. So in that way, what is Sahas all about? How did Sahas start and how does Sahas operate these days?
Yeah, so Sahas is actually registered under Societies Act, and this was since 2001. So it's been about 19 years since Sahas has been in this field. And Sahas mainly focuses on source segregation and decentralized waste management. And we work closely with government institutions, companies, households, and schools, and make sure that we set up a decentralized waste management process there, and then we move on to the next is the working culture of Sahas. So we don't prefer to stick to one location. We just try to set up the required things and then move to the next. So that's how Sahas works. So we have been focusing on behavioral change and sensitization, then consultancy and research on waste management, and also on building reverse logistics networks. So these are the prime things that Sahas focuses on.
That's interesting. You did mention it. Sahas has been in operation for 19 years.
Yeah.
So how did it begin? So what are the business verticals currently? So you did mention that waste management is one key thing. But I believe there are other business verticals that you operate.
Yeah, so I am associated with Sahas NGO, but Sahas also has another entity of private limited, which is called Sahas Zero Waste Management. And we have different business verticals like products, and then we have electronic waste management team, and then operations of waste management in different tech parks and big apartment complexes. But that is completely with the private limited. And as a part of NGO, we work closely with government institutions and help them have a good process set up for waste management in GP level or ward level or even in state policy making.
That's good to know, because a good process in waste management is particularly what we are going to talk about on this episode. So how did the idea of litter-free Lalbagh come about? So what was the genesis of that idea?
We are associated with Lalbagh since 2013, but we used to do this cleanup drives with a couple of companies, or we used to just set up stalls to spread out this message of waste segregation. But 2018 is when we actually took this decision of working more closely with Lalbagh. And luckily, we got support from Bosch also in terms of the fundings which was required for the same. And our main mission was to, try and reduce the waste there first, even before managing the waste there properly. And that's when we started working with Lalbagh authorities in getting the process strict for not allowing plastics inside. And then we had a lot of discussions with the vendors, and we consulted them better approach of using the areca nut leaves or something like that for the products that they are selling there instead of the single use items. And then we also installed 150 sets of wet and dry waste bins inside the premises. Then we also set up a dry waste management center in Siddhapura Gate of Lalbagh. And what we currently do there is we sort dry waste into further 14 categories and then send out to respective recyclers. So this was the initial setup that we did. And then we had continuous awareness sessions, which we were conducting there for the visitors, because Lalbagh being always filled with visitors, it would be like new people coming in every day. So we did multiple awareness sessions there. Then we also thought of getting associated with them in the flower shows. So Lalbagh has these two flower shows, biannual flower shows, which happen in Lalbagh, one in January and one in August. So we see about 4 lakh plus people visiting during that event. So there used to be a lot of waste which used to be generated before we intervened. So since we had set up these process of reducing the waste there by not allowing the plastic thing there, there was quite a drop of waste which was generated in the flower show, during the flower show as well. And also we had so many volunteers getting associated with us during the flower show to spread out awareness or to improve the collection and all of that, that we were able to together achieve this mission of, keeping Lalbagh litter free even during those peak days. So that's how, in short, I would say litter-free Lalbagh came into picture.
That's a very good and a short summary of Lalbagh Flower Show and what you do with Lalbagh. But for listeners, I just want to give a quick update that Lalbagh is a botanical garden in the Indian city of Bangalore. And it's a quite popular destination. As Rajalakshmi mentioned, there are two events in the year where there is a massive flower show that is set up by the department, and close to about 4 to 5 lakh visitors visit the place during that week or 10 days. And so it's a massive event, and a massive event of this scale also generates a lot of waste.
Yes.
So what is the quantity of waste that is typically generated, and how do you go about handling it?
It used to be like 8 to 8.5 tons before we intervened in these things, but now it's about 4 tons. So it has reduced to 50%. So that's majorly because of our steps, like so there used to be a lot of areca nut plates which used to get generated, because Lal Bagh used to provide meals to the police authorities working during the flower show and the Lal Bagh staffs. There used to be about 500 kgs of areca nut leaves alone every day. So we, suggested them to start switching to steel cutleries, rented steel cutleries. And it was difficult to initially convince them, but then they gradually understood the importance of it. And then they switched to steel cutleries. And that's one major step which we took to reduce the waste during flower show. And then other than that, as the stalls, like flower show sees a lot of stalls coming in Lal Bagh, right? So there was a strict rule, strict agreement with the vendors that they're not supposed to use single-use items in their shops. And also they were told to keep two different bins, one for wet and one for dry. And they were made responsible for the waste which was generated from their shop. So that was also strictly followed up by Lal Bagh officials. And hence, there also we reduced the waste. And that's how we came down to 50%.
That's a big number. And that's a pretty big contribution that you have made to this.
Yes.
So if I understand that the first step is to get to the authorities and tell them about the basic set of things that they need to get in order, like the bins, the supply of materials and other things. So how long is this? So how many weeks or months do you spend before the actual event starts in preparing for the event?
So for the August 2019 flower show, we started the preparation in the month of Feb itself, right from discussing with authorities to finding out other volunteering groups who would be interested to work with us during the flower show, and having multiple meetings with the vendors, the regular vendors, and understanding their concerns on switching from single use to the other alternatives. And then having multiple meetings with the stalls, stall vendors who would be coming in during the flower show and suggesting some alternative for them also. So it took a long time, Feb to August, it took us for the first time. But then this time when we had flower show during the month of Jan, we just started the preparation about a month back, because almost 90% of whatever things were done earlier was, you know, taken up upfront by the vendors, by the stall, by the regular vendors, stall vendors, as well as Lal Bagh officials. So we didn't have to spend much time on making them understand on that. And even the police officers were already prepared with whatever instructions we had given earlier with respect to using of steel cutleries and fining the people when they see them littering or not using the right bin. All of that was already in place for this flower show which happened, last flower show which happened. So it was just a one-time thing where we were supposed to spend like 3-4 big months in convincing all the stakeholders involved in flower show. But then since they saw a tremendous improvement in the waste management during August flower show, they themselves got onboarded with all the responsibilities for the for this flower show which happened in Jan. So it was pretty easy this time.
That's very good to know. I mean, cutting down the entire planning process to just a month in about a year is a phenomenal achievement.
Yeah.
In addition to preparing the officials, I'm sure having an event in this scale requires a lot of support from the local staff who regularly take care of the park. How responsible or how enthusiastic were those people in getting and being part of this transition? Because for them, giving such rules and asking them to follow this could be really challenging. How enthusiastic were they in getting along with your ideas?
Yeah, so for the first show which we handled in August, it was really tough. They were not at all with us. Like they were not sending us the collection vehicle on time. And they were not willing to actually look at the segregation aspect because it was always easy for them to empty everything in one bag and then just dump it in one place. So segregating and then putting wet waste in the composting pit and dry waste to the unit was getting little hectic for them during flower show. But then we had few extra staffs from Sahas working during the flower show in the month of August, just to show them how, you know, this flow of having segregated waste being put in different places and sorting them out and sending for recycling will actually improve the waste management process in Lal Bagh. So we were setting that example in the month of August. So later, after that flower show, we had two or three meetings with the Lal Bagh staffs to tell them how it went and why we thought this is important and how they are going to contribute for this by just taking the step of collecting the segregated waste, how important it was to care for the environment and all of that. And this time in the month of Jan, Lal Bagh officials themselves gave us extra Lal Bagh staffs, and all of them had put tremendous effort in collecting segregated waste. And not only collecting, they also helped us with sorting of dry waste and sending that to the recycling facility. They really felt happy about what we are doing. So we actually told them few stories of few streets which was always, you know, filled with waste. We kept complaining that the government officials are not taking proper steps to actually clean the roads or whatever, but even the person who is dumping the waste there is responsible for the same. And we also told them about various initiatives that Sahas took to ensure that people do not dump and things like that, and how we can improve our place. So we just told them how important they are in this process. So we didn't consider them as one of those waste pickers. We considered them as a cleaning staff, right? So they really felt dignified after working with us and seeing how well we treat them, how much importance we are giving them. So in the month of January, they themselves came in with us and they themselves participated in all the activities. And now they are even willing to, you know, participate in the daily collection and sorting stuff. So that's the level of switch we saw from last year to this year. That is all because they saw the dignity that we give to the workers who work under us during this process of waste management. And they really felt happy that they also have some dignity in the community.
That's really wonderful. I mean, getting the stakeholders on board is a pretty important step in any transition to.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you were able to get the important stakeholders in the process on board and make them feel really special, dignified, as you put. At this point, I like to just ask you a question a little different from the entire campaign, entire project, because I've spoken about this in multiple times on the podcast and other platforms. But from your perspective, why would you say that waste segregation is important? Because I always urge people on the platform and other social media channels that waste segregation is important. Dry and wet waste has to be segregated. I mean, it is happening globally in like developed countries. But in developing countries like India and other places, this is just starting to pick up. But why is it so important?
Yeah, so I personally believe in this concept of circular economy a lot. So what I feel is whatever material we are using to make a product, it has to go back to the loop and be used again to make the same product. And this can happen only if there is waste segregation. And that's why I feel that waste segregation is very important. Like if we segregate dry waste and wet waste and electronic waste and even medical waste and so many categories. I think there are countries who follow 40 segregation way as well. So I somewhere feel that it enables this process of circular economy, which is very much needed for protecting our environment, also to stop mining and such activities. So that's why I feel waste segregation is important.
That's perfectly said. Circular economy is one key concept that everyone has to start to understand and play their part in the bigger picture, because not using the resources that we don't need is a big thing, and we can actually recycle and repurpose the materials. So yeah, that's a good thing.
Also, we don't have that much virgin material in Earth, right? We won't keep on getting virgin material. We have to have some solution to start using non-virgin material in our production cycle so that we can have longer, I mean, the earth can have longer life.
Perfect. Yes, I couldn't agree more. But there is one key question that I always have, because waste management, I mean, especially in a large event like this, controlling people about like 5 lakh people, getting them, and when they come, I mean, plastic is one key element. No matter what you tell or how much awareness is created around plastic, plastic is always brought to the event. How do you end up reducing the plastic use in such events?
Yeah, so the first flower show, it was difficult because we started with the Water Points initiative in Lal Bagh. So even the officials weren't sure if that will work well, because we were not allowing people to sell packed water, or we were not even allowing them to get some packed mineral water. So it was just the Water Points from where they can fill their own bottles, or they can use the steel glass there. So initially, in the month of August, it was very difficult. All the people got really angry on all the officials, you know, because they had to stand in the long queue to get their water bottle filled or to drink water. But slowly, they also started understanding that it is important to take such initiatives. And this year, no, I mean, I didn't see anybody complaining about it. And the best improvement was, I saw so many people carrying their own steel bottles or copper bottles in the flower show. So people are also slowly changing, because they are understanding the importance of this switch from, you know, stopping the use of plastic. So, yeah, it might be difficult in the beginning for us to switch from this convenient lifestyle of using plastic. But when we understand the importance of it, I think people definitely start changing.
That's wonderful to know that people are adopting this practice and are really willing to do some bit in this. Talking of people, I mean, for an NGO like Sahas, another group of people is really important, the volunteers.
Yeah.
Not just for this event, but throughout the activities that you do in the year in multiple places. So how have you managed to keep the volunteers motivated, keep them engaged, not only for the event, but through the year?
Yeah, so we actually show them the entire process, like what Sahas does. We also have this material recovery facility. So we show them that also, and how their volunteering time of an hour can make a difference in recycling process. So they completely feel motivated after seeing that fact. So usually our volunteering activities, if you ask me, for Lal Bagh, it would be manning the bins. And for other projects, it would be basically awareness, door-to-door awareness on segregation. So when they see where this waste is going to go after they perform this activity, they always feel motivated about it. So that's how we keep them motivated. Also, we, you know, we include more of students, college students, who are really interested to work on this sector, sustainability sector. So they also have few projects that they look at in their final year or something, wherein we also help them in putting those concepts in place for their projects. So that's how it's a give and take a kind of principle which we use for the volunteers.
That's interesting. It's always good to have a give and take and make it a win-win proposition for everyone or everyone involved.
Yeah.
On the next topic, and on the final topic, so Litter Free Lal Bagh is now a successful event. I'm sure the next time around you would probably need a month or less than that to start and prepare for the event and deliver the event. So what is next for Sahas? You have a lot of events in the city of Bangalore and around, but how do you plan to scale up the projects like this across other cities in India? How do you plan to go about it?
Yeah, so in case of Lal Bagh, the next flower show, we are going to make sure that the officials handle by themselves. So, you know, this becomes sustainable. They are not dependent on Sahas to take this ahead. We just have set the process right. We'll train them and then we'll move out. We'll just support them whenever required, but we want them to be self-sufficient. So that's how we'll come out of Litter Free Lal Bagh and then start looking at other parks. Like, we have already in discussions for handling waste in multiple other parks in Karnataka. And, you know, enabling the authorities to handle the waste themselves. So that's how we are looking at. And it's not only in Karnataka, we are also looking at multiple other national parks in the country. We are just in talks right now with them. And the process would be same. The initial, we'll just do the setup for about a year or two, and then we will enable the officials themselves to carry out that process. That's how we would be looking at.
That's good. Good to know, Rajalakshmi. And so on a final note, I'm sure a lot of people listen to the podcast from around the world, and mostly in India as well. A lot of people would want to contribute to Saha's, do their bit. How can they get in touch with you? What are the different activities they can look forward to contribute in? I mean, waste management is just one thing, but how can they contribute or get involved in projects?
Yeah, so if they wish to volunteer for our projects, obviously they can write to us in info@sahas.org, and we'll get in touch with them. Other than that, I think what they can also do is start using products which are more sustainable, and Sahas Zero Waste has a list of products and they can start using that as well in their day-to-day life. And one more thing which I would personally suggest them to do is start thinking about how they can have zero waste life culture incorporated in them. And if they need any help on that, Sahas will always be there to help them. So yeah, I would like to close on that note.
That's a wonderful note to close on. Have a zero waste lifestyle, or rather an approach to a zero waste lifestyle. That is especially what Mission Shunya aims to do. So thanks for taking time and sharing the story of Sahas and the Litter Free Lal Bagh project. Good to know it's been a success, and hope to feature more such amazing stories from what Sahas will do in the future.
Sure. Thank you so much, Girish, for having me here. And I've heard to other podcasts, and it's really inspiring to know, having some podcast which features so many other waste management initiatives as well. Thank you so much for having us here.
Well, and that brings to end yet another story, a sustainability story on the Mission Shunya podcast. You can find out more about Sahas on their website, Sahas NGO or Sahas E-Waste. If you want to replicate any of their project, they will be more than happy to help you. So reach out to them if you find their work really interesting. No matter where you are on the planet, they'll definitely reach out to you and help you in your project. So the action items for today is follow Sahas. And as always, spread the word about Mission Shunya on the social media channels. Another easy way to do is share the episode to 3 people in your network in the next 30 minutes. If you do that, it'll definitely help spread the word. And I hope you definitely do that. So with that, this is Girish Shivakumar, and thank you for listening.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Talking about money is hard. People all over the world were taught never to talk about money, politics, sex, or religion in polite company. But on this show, my goal is to remove money from that list. And so I'm excited to bring you 50 Fires, a podcast about money and meaning from Blind Nil Audio and executive producers Chip and Joanna Gaines. Follow and listen to 50 Fires, a podcast about money and meaning with me, Carl Richards, wherever you get your podcasts.